book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12. Starts in chapter 12, verse 30, and then we'll go into chapter 13. All right, chapter 12, verse 30, and it says, "Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way." Chapter 13. "If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in the mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now, faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love." It's the word of the Lord.
We're in part two of our series, The Spirit of Love, and our church is about to turn 4 years old, but I actually consider this past year our first quote-unquote normal year. You know, we're a four-year-old church, but I kind of feel like we're more like a year-and-a-half-year-old church. Because as many of you know, our church started launched on the fourth Sunday of September in 2019. And a lot of you know, 2020 made things very not normal. A little thing called a pandemic happened, and the way our county handled those things made, you know, a lot of things very difficult. And church is chiefly one of those things that was made very difficult. So things were quite strange all throughout COVID. And then we finally got to be quote-unquote normal in March of 2022, okay? And then I, as your lead pastor, was gone for 4 months because you granted me a sabbatical. And then I came back about a year ago. So this is about as normal as we've gotten to be for about a year. Do you realize that? And as we go into this fourth birthday, this is the series I want to preach. And this is not a long series, but it is a tremendously important place in the Bible. This chapter is incredibly famous. It is justly famous. I said to you last week, it's not usually well understood, which is true too. But I want to say a little something different about this before I start the message, which is no other religious text has ever said anything like this. A lot of people think love is so important. Love is the greatest thing. Outside of Christianity, nobody says that. That's just the truth. Go look at every other major religion and every other culture in the world. Nobody says that, except in the West, everybody takes it as a normal thing, but they don't know that the West has been conditioned by the Bible, and particularly by this chapter. And as we get into this word, I want you to have like two things in mind. I think one of the most obvious things that is, it's one of the most obvious teachings in the Bible, but it's also obvious if you look at all the churches, which is we don't take this seriously. Most churches are not filled with love. I've been to a lot of different churches. They preach the Bible well, some of them don't. And they sing good songs. Some have better theology than others. They have good programs. They have good welcoming. They have nice buildings. They have nice bands. They even have really nice pastures. But I would say it is very unusual when I go to a church, and I go to that church, and I feel that their love is thick. It's actually quite unusual. It's unusual in America. I was sad to find out when I spent 3 months in Korea, it's apparently unusual there too. That's pretty sad. What I usually find is you go into a church, and if you spend any time in the church, you'll find that the church doesn't generally feel like it's very loving, but there's a pocket of people over here. It is filled with love over here. You meet one or two people, they're filled with love, but I don't think you can honestly say the church is. And if you haven't noticed, our culture is doing really bad. People are hurting. People are dying. There are young people, they think about dying. What kind of a horrible, demonic culture do we live in where this is the case? And if I say this to you, is there really any argument? Do you know that this is the case? Maybe you don't experience this, but our whole, the leaders of our culture, this is every other week there's a podcast episode about this. There are essays about this, and we're talking from the secular people. But who has the love? It should be us. Amen. It should be the church. So that's the first thing I just want to say. Churches are love poor, and that's pathetic. Okay, I'm not trying to bag on us or make you feel bad. It's just true. It's a very painful fact, right? A second thing, though, is I don't think the church is filled with the Holy Spirit for the most part. And I think those two things are one and the same. They're basically connected. We go to church, we're looking for something out of church. I want a word out of church. I want to make friends out of church. I hope somebody will, I can get a wife out of church. You know, my son is looking for a job. He probably was like, I hope somebody will help me at church and get me a connection. I'll get a job. You know what? I hope that happens. But I hope that's not why you come to church. When you come to church, you should come to get God. And when I say get God, I'm not talking about a thought in your head, get God. This series is about drinking in the Holy Spirit. And when we drink in the Holy Spirit, I hope what will happen is we will become a loving people. It'll be that obvious. Okay? All right, let's start. Part one, self-centered, lonely, and poor in love, yet having money and success. Self-centered, lonely, and poor in love, yet having money and success. Part two, Christ's love through the Spirit in you. I want you to not only receive the love of God as a word in your head. If you believe in Jesus, you have believed in that word, which is, hopefully you believe in that word, which is the gospel. And so you have the love of God cognitively in your head. But I am challenging you to go more than that, that you are the love of Christ through the Holy Spirit in your heart. It's supremely more important than that, than to just have it in your head. And part three, drinking in and pouring out the Holy Spirit. Okay? Let's go part one. Self-centered, lonely, and poor in spirit. And I want to, poor in love, yet having money and success. Now, I want to start with this question. Here it is. Which treasure is higher in your heart and life? So I'm asking you to be honest. I'm asking you to think about your life, where all your loves and your joys happen. So that's in your heart. And then where your time and your energy flows, because they usually are connected together. Where your time and your energy flows in your life and what's important inside your heart. We like to say, I love Jesus. I care about Jesus. He's my Lord. But then Monday through Saturday, he's barely attended to. We barely pay attention. We know what's going on more on the Netflix channel you're watching. Whatever you're binge watching tonight at Netflix is more in your head and in your heart than Jesus. So which treasure is higher in your heart and life? And the first one is it everlasting divine love? That's what this passage is offering. Or money, success, or achievements. And if you've been pastored by me for a while, you know this is a normal thing I like to talk about, right? Why? Because this is where we live. If you lived in Nebraska and then you like farmed in the middle of the day and you're like, I like farming, but I'm really excited about what's going to happen at church on Wednesday night, maybe I won't preach this. But if you live in this city, everything is always about money, success, and achievements. All the time, every time, all the time. Right? And if that's the way we're going to be inside the church, people are just going to die. And there'll be violence. There'll be suicide. And I'm not talking outside the church. I'm talking about in your family. Somebody you love and know. Someone in the church. Because the church is filled up too much with what's in the world. And not the highest thing that is given to us by God. The thing that's given to us by God is going to last forever and ever. It's not something that's going to be like today you get it, yay! Tomorrow it fades away. Okay? God is not interested in giving you such small things. God is interested in giving you bigger things. So what's the treasure? And I'm calling you to believe first in your head, but I know you, even if you believe it in your head, it's not enough. What we need is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to come into your heart and make this the treasure in your heart. And then it'll be in our church. And then it'll really change us. So, I want to pick up where I left off last week. If you weren't here last week, I really want you to hear that message. You can go onto our YouTube channel or onto our podcast. Please, 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 I beg you to listen to it. If you are our member, okay, I don't usually do this. I command you as your lead pastor. If you missed it, you have to hear it, okay? If you missed it, that's your homework. So go onto the YouTube channel, onto the podcast, and hear last week's message. But here, let's pick up. I'm going to pick up where we left off last week, right? It's one of the places I pick up. And here we go. So this is the way this chapter begins. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. So I know sometimes when you come into church and, you know, I come up here and I start doing my part, you go, maybe it's not a noisy gong, but it sounds like, wah, 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 wah. That's when I'm getting sleepy, especially at around like the 4:45 or point, okay, which is about now, right? So it sounds like a wah, wah, wah kind of noise. The passage is saying, however you talk, whatever you're doing, you can have a supernatural gift from God, but no love, it's noise. And our culture is filled with noise. What's on the TV, what's on your phone, what's on TikTok, what's on whatever you like to look at, it's just so much noise. It's crazy amounts of noise. And yet, here's this thing, supernatural gift, tongues from an angel, and no love, it's just junk. If I have prophetic powers, understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Nothing. And if I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Don't you work hard and you do things? You get up, you study, you work, You know, you want to gain something. Don't you want to gain something important? Don't you want to gain a treasure? Don't you want to gain a treasure that's infinitely worthy? But this is saying, you just do all these things, but you got no love. You gain nothing. You gain nothing. Church, can you hear this? If we are a church that doesn't have love, we can do all kinds of stuff. We're going to gain more people. We're going to gain more money. We'll fill out our budget. We'll gain more baptisms. We'll gain miracles even inside this building. But there isn't love? Wow. The Bible says we gain nothing. Nothing. That's insane. But that's God's word. It's not Susan's opinion. You think I want to come up here and say this to you? It's not a fun thing to say. This is not a nice, sentimental, little feel-good message. And if you hear it, next time you go to a wedding and then they quote this, you can just go, oh gosh, I remember what Susan said. He says, this is really dumb. Because it's a punch in the head from God, from our arrogance, from the way we think about all these other things. We're fixated on all these other things. So I want to reprise this one more time because I'm trying to put something in your heart that will make you immune to the demonic in Silicon Valley. So here we go. The way of Silicon Valley, the unclean spirits of the world. Our next slide, please. So we're going to have love in this church. And it's not going to be your love or my love, however we try. Oh, I'm going to be this loving person. You know, Silicon Valley love is like this. I love poor people, which means you don't. Which means you have some good intentions for them and you condescendingly feel sorry for them. That's the normal thing of Silicon Valley. I'm not trying to accuse you per se. It's just look around the city. That's kind of... Now, there are a lot of people who say they don't even have that. Okay, they don't even care. I care nothing about poor people if I was really honest, which is why they say nothing. Some of you actually feel a little guilty, so you want to give some money to the beggar on that light that you go to. And so you have some good intention for them. Well, that's not the love that we need. That's your love. It's a pretty low and pathetic thing. We need God's love from the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit is in us, then we can keep out the dirty and unclean spirits of the world, including the ones of self-righteousness. So let me just re-say this passage one more time, what I'm going to call the demonic epistle to Silicon Valley. So if the devil were to write this to our city, it'll come out like this. And when I read this, you know this is what our city believes, okay? So here we go. Chapter 13, verse 1 of the demonic epistle to Silicon Valley. If I have great knowledge, giftedness, brilliance, and achievements, but have not love, I'm still somebody. And have worth in the world. That is absolutely what our city believes. We're utter slaves to achievement, success, and money. We work ridiculously hard. That's what we wake up for every day here in this city. I mean, even if you don't just make a certain amount, you can't even make rent. And then if you don't make rent, you're like, I didn't make rent. Therefore, I'm a nobody. And I'm nothing in this world. So, we are enslaved to the money. That's absolutely what we believe. But the Bible says something more. If I have good looks but lots of likes and followers with many admirers but have not love, I'm definitely somebody, not nobody. How do I know? Because it says so right there on my Instagram. There we go. See all the likes? Like. I'm okay. That's not, but I don't have much love. Maybe they like me. Do they love you? Do they love you? And if I give a few dollars away with good intentions to the poor but have not love, I still know that I'm a good somebody. See, I'm a good person. I'm somebody. I'm not nobody. I'm good. Are we? There's lots of people in our city. They don't need Jesus. They give money to the poor. Some of them are rich. So since they're rich, they're a billionaire. I gave away $50,000 to the poor last year, which basically to them is like nothing. Okay? But it's still a lot more money than you and I will give, probably. But are they really good? Are we good? Okay, I know that was mean. That was tough. But we have to disabuse you. I'm trying to shake off this unclean thing inside your heart so we can go to the bigger thing, the better thing. Let's go to part two. Christ's love through the Spirit in you. Like I said, not Christ's love just in your head, but by the Holy Spirit in you. So let's go back to verse 30 of chapter 12. So Paul is critiquing this church. The church of Corinth is all about gifts. They're just like us. They're in this special little spot, the port spot. All the world important trade is there. All these intensely smart people is there. This is globalization in the first century. And it's an important place in the globalization of the first century. In the 21st century, this is one of the most important places of global trade, right here. And so that's why you have to be a smart person to live here. Because we're going to make the money. We're going to innovate. We're going to have those things. So we care about gifts. And the people in Corinth, they brought that ugly, worldly spirit of giftedness, and they brought it into the church. And what I want to ask you today is, please, let's get rid of that. So Paul says, do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? They're actually interested in supernatural gifts from God. In the 21st century, we're not even interested in that. We're just interested in naturalistic gifts that make me money. Give me success. Okay, all right, if you can get tongues, great. I just want to be really good looking. Okay? That's more normal in the 21st century where we live. But gifts, this is really strange. It's an incredible thing that this pastor is saying. There's something greater, far greater. But earnestly desire the higher gifts. And then he says this, forget the gifts. I will show you a still more excellent way. And I told you last week, I don't even think that's a good translation. The word there in Greek is the thing that's higher than all other things. I would translate it, I will show you a more surpassing way. A more transcending way. It is the highest way. And then the chapter starts. So, chapter 13 is the truly surpassing way of the Holy Spirit. Next slide, please. So, everything about chapter 12 is about a gift from the Spirit. And everything about chapter 13 is the highest thing from the Spirit. And it's love. So, let's go back to one more that I want to sow this again into your heart. And I'm going to keep talking about this. So that when you start thinking about church all the time, you're not thinking about a service. You're not thinking about a building. I want you to think about this. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. I want you to have this in your mind as we walk through chapter 13, this supremely famous and incredible word. For in one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. So what's the body? The body is the church. The body is the bride of Christ. So these are all the ways the body is talked about. The body, which is the church. Christ is the head. His body You know, the church is his body. He is the head. He is the bridegroom or the husband. The church is his bride. So thus, there's a head and there's a body, and then they're one flesh. They're married. So in the church, this is what it's like. And how are you in this body? The Holy Spirit baptizes you into the body, which is the church. So that's how he puts it. And then I just want to jump forward. And all were made to drink of one spirit. Actually, he says Jews or Greeks, slaves or free. Let me translate the 21st century way. Whether you're white or black. So maybe the largest ethnicity in this church is Korean. Whether you're Korean or, you know, whichever one you are. Whether you're Korean or Indian. Whether you're Korean or Chinese or Korean or Mexican, right? Whichever one you are, whether you're slave or free, whether you're rich or poor, whether you're employed or unemployed, whether you're educated or not educated, all were made to drink of one spirit. Here is what the church is made to do. The body of Christ is attached to the head of Christ. We're one flesh with Christ. Through marriage, through union, through covenant. I just said the same thing. Through marriage, through union, through covenant. So the same thing. If you get Christ, you always get his church. And if you get Christ, you are literally baptized into his church. And so you can't run away from your church. That's like you're a little finger. I'm a little finger in the body of Christ. That's like saying I'll be chopped out from the finger. I'm going to run away from the body. If you do that, if any finger to ever do that, what will happen? It'll die. So you are baptized into the body. And we, the body, every member of the body, what are we? What is Christ's goal for us? To drink of the Spirit. As we drink of the Spirit, the highest thing it looks like is, it's not tongues, it's not prophecies, it's not knowledge. It's not money. It's not good looks. It's a love that can never be broken from God through Jesus. So, let's ask this question. How do you drink in the Spirit and thus receive his surpassing, transcending way? And let me give you the answer. The answer is, I know this sounds almost too simple, by faith. In the gospel, by believing the gospel. Oh, by doing a lot more things at church. Oh, by trying really hard as a Christian. No. It's about what you believe. By receiving the love of Jesus Christ in the gospel. There's a word from the Bible. It is about who is Jesus and what he has done for you. And there's a love in that word. And if you receive that word, you're drinking. Oh, you're drinking. So some of you are always like, Pastor, don't you, you always have to wait to part three before you get to the gospel. That, you know, stop, surprise, here it is in part two. I'm going to say that from this passage. And I want you to hear the gospel this way. I want you to have faith in the gospel. I want you to believe the gospel and receive this love this way. Verse 4. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. And then it says all these its. I'm going to replace the its. The it is love. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. Love is not arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. Love is not irritable or resentful. Love does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Let me say it a little bit differently. Silicon Valley is so impatient, and it's not even kind, It's cruel. Your neighbors, your boss, even you, as a member of the city, we're filled with envy, and all we care about is boasting. We are arrogant. We are rude. We think we're the smartest city in the world. We're the greatest city in the world. And if you're not as good, then too bad for you. It's arrogant and rude. Love does not insist on its own way. In your company, if you won't use their language, if you won't use certain pronouns, they threaten to fire you. That's how Silicon Valley treats you. That's how Silicon Valley treats your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers. You know what they need to get? Love does not insist on its own way. Love is not arrogant or rude. Love does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Oh my gosh. That's nothing like our city, is it? Which is another way of saying to you, love is not in our city. Love is not in our city. Because our city utterly rejoices in lies. Wicked, gross lies. That's another way we know it's filled with the demonic, not the Holy Spirit. Our city does not drink from the Holy Spirit. We must drink from the Holy Spirit. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Verse 8, love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. And now let me say the gospel to you. I still haven't said the gospel to you. I heard this from a pastor friend of mine years ago. He told me this is how he preached it to a bunch of youth kids. He was the youth speaker at this, I think it was like 20 kids, at some like Chinese American church or something like that. And this is the message he gave. This is how he translated 1 Corinthians 13. And it's so good. I'll give it to you. Verse 4. Jesus Christ is patient and kind. Jesus does not envy or boast. Jesus is not arrogant or rude. Jesus does not insist on his own way. You're like, doesn't he? He does, but he doesn't. He kind of insists that you go his own way, but then he doesn't force you. He doesn't do it by fear. He doesn't do it by punishment. He does it with patience and kindness and persuasion. How? Through his word and his spirit. See? You know who Jesus is? Jesus is not simply God. Jesus is not simply a person. Jesus is love. Jesus is love in the flesh. Jesus is the highest love who came into history. Jesus is the highest treasure himself. Jesus showed us love on the cross. The cross is the highest love. The cross is proof that he is patient and kind. Jesus is not irritable or resentful. You know why he doesn't have to be irritable or resentful to you? Even though you're idolatrous, even though you lie, even though you look at porn, even though you're greedy and think about money all the time. You know why he's not irritable or resentful to you? Because he's love in the flesh. And the love on the flesh died the death that deserves irritableness. It deserves resentment because we're so sinful and traitorous and corrupt. But on the cross, love poured out. Love shed his blood. Love washed over everything about you and me that deserved irritableness. And so he just gives you kindness. That's Jesus. Jesus bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Revive, do you believe that? You are demonically filled with greed. You just walk the ways of Silicon Valley, not the highest thing of the Holy Spirit. You're filled up with just fear and anxiety because you're so worried about money, but not Jesus. And yet, he bears it all. He endures it all. That's love. That's love. Verse 8. Christ's love never ends. I've been a pastor a long time. It's funny. It is a kindergarten teaching. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And that love will never end. If you've been to church even a few weeks, you've been told that. If you go to church a lot, you have heard that 1,000 times. And yet, I have pastored many, many Christians, and they always believe, almost always, that when they stink, when they're bad, when they're corrupt, when they fail, when they have given God the middle finger, when they have just been total junk, when they've cheated on their wife, when they've hit their kids, whatever it is that they've done that's just so bad, it's just, this is below. God doesn't love me, does he? It's not true. It's not true. It's not true. As for money, it'll pass away. As for successes, they will cease. As for achievements, they'll pass away. But the love of Christ for me and his church, his body, his bride, will never, ever, ever, ever end. This is the highest thing. Can you receive that? Can you drink that? Can you believe that? If you believe that, you're drinking in the Spirit. Drink the Spirit every week. Come to church, drink the Spirit. Come and contribute to that. And the people who are dying from the demonic in our city, and maybe some of you, they will live. They will live. All right, I could close my message right now, but I don't want to. I want one more thing to give you. Part 3, drinking in and pouring out the Holy Spirit. I want to give you a how. You're such a practical Silicon Valley. How do you do it, Pastor? Okay, you come to church, believe the gospel. Okay. Okay. That's a little too easy. I know. Isn't that a little too easy? You know why God makes it so easy? Because we're so dumb. We're so, so dumb. So he made it so, so easy. But since you guys don't want to make it that easy, you want a little bit more, I'll give you a little bit more so I'll humor you. So I hope this will help. Okay? Question, how can you fill your life with infinite treasure? Not the treasures of Silicon Valley. Infinite treasure. Here's the answer. Drink in and then pour out. Drink in the Holy Spirit and then pour out the Holy Spirit. Let me put it this way. Drink in love and then pour out love. Not your junkie love. You're like, well, that's the only kind I got, Pastor. That's not true. In part 2, I gave you the gospel, and you drank in the love of God through Jesus. You take that in. And to the best that you can, even if it's not that good, pour out the love to somebody else. Okay? And let me close with an example. This is the way I close the message. I met somebody very, very special when I was in Philadelphia. His name is John Wen. John Wen. Next slide. Here we go. Who is John Wen? He's the new senior pastor of Living Word Community Church in San Jose. It's a Vietnamese immigrant church. While I was away, you had a guest speaker. His name was Kim Lee. And Kim Lee was the planting pastor of Living Word. And since then, he has become a dear friend. So he's the one who asked me to be the English guest speaker at this Vietnamese church conference in southern Pennsylvania, and that's where I was away. And I told you I received so much love there. It was crazy. makes me just so happy just even remembering it. It was really strange. Like I told you last week, it was like these Vietnamese people were giving me love that touched my Korean heart. It was like they were giving me Korean love from Vietnamese all the time. Except I knew it was from Jesus. I knew it was from the Holy Spirit. And while I was experiencing that, I text Kim. I was like, hey, because I won't go into the story, but he couldn't come. So they asked him to give you the guest speaker. Something not good happened, so then he didn't get to be the guest speaker, but I still had to do it. So my buddy isn't there. He's in San Jose, and I'm texting him. And I'm saying, hey, this is what it's like. And then he said, hey, can we talk? I talked on the phone. He says, I want you to meet John. There's a pastor there named John, and he's going to be my successor. I want you to meet him. Would you please love him? I said, okay. And they had two pastors that would go up to the front, and that was kind of running everything. One was an older guy, and he was sort of the guy in charge. And he was really great to me. Except, you know, he spoke English only some of the time. Most of the time, it would be all in Vietnamese. I had no idea what he's saying, okay? And then this other guy, a younger guy, came up, and he was good looking. He was wearing a nice, coat, and he's really well spoken, and he spoke really good English. And that was John. I was like, oh, it's him. That's him. And so before the conference, he's busy running the conference. And he's sort of the guy that they pick to make sure everything is going well with the younger generation who only speak English. So he sort of kind of oversees that part. So he's pretty busy. And so before the conference was over, I sought him out. And we had about a 20-minute chat at the tail end of lunch on Sunday morning. And this is what it was like. He said, Kim called me and said, I'm supposed to become your friend. And he said, you should pick Susan's brain. He knows San Jose. And you're going to like him. I was like, oh. And so when John met me, he said, God has really loved me. This is the first things he told me about himself. He said, I was born toward the tail end of the Vietnam War, and I lost my dad. And then when I was 6 months old as a baby, my mom died. So I grew up an orphan. And my dad's mother, my grandmother, raised me, and she was a godly Christian. And she shared this verse with me. Psalm 68:5, where God says that he is a father to the fatherless and the protector of widows. And ever since then, he knew God loved him. Not just God. God loved him like a father. And in all his life, he decided that's going to be the most important thing in his life. See? Dirt poor orphan. And whose mother was a widow and died. He had love from God. And then you know what he does? He gives it to other people. In 20 minutes. This guy gave me his vulnerability, his honesty, And I felt like this guy was loving me. It was incredible. And he said, I'm too busy right now. So he said, are you going to be in Philly? I said, yes. He goes, let's have lunch. I said, great. I will make time for you. So right after the conference was over, I texted him. Da-da-da. We set up lunch 2 days later. I drove into town. Let me tell you what he's like. The Vietnamese church doesn't have really good giving. So the pastors have to have another job. It's called bivocational. It's just like the Apostle Paul. It's not an ancient thing. People are doing it today. So this guy has to have a day job so that he could have his real job as the pastor. His day job is as a nurse in an adult, elderly day center in a poor part of Philadelphia. So I had to drive into this poor neighborhood. I walked into this place where there's all these old people, and to my great shock, it was like majority Asian. I was like, what? Because if you've ever been to Philadelphia, it is not majority Asian. It's majority Asian, and then occasionally you meet somebody white or Hispanic or black. And I walked in there, he gave me a quick tour, and as I walked around with him, every old person that bumped into him, white, black, Hispanic, or Asian, I could tell they loved him. I'm pretty sure it's because they know he loves them. And then we had lunch for an hour and a half. It was Vietnamese food, by the way. I was like, what? What are we doing? And this elderly, and he handed me Vietnamese food. He goes, and then he gave me a choice. Do you want the noodle dish or do you want the steak dish? I said, the steak is good. And he loved me for an hour and a half. I think through Kim, the Holy Spirit made a way and told him, this guy is your brother. This guy's your friend. You're going to have this great friend when you move to San Jose. And then he loved me. He drank in the Spirit, and everywhere he goes, he gives his highest treasure to other people. He pours out the Spirit through love. If revived church will be filled with John Wens, will tear down the devils of the city. Depression will run, the demonic lies will flee, and people's lives will be saved, including your own, including your own. And you'll have the infinite treasure of your life. I don't think I'm as good as John Wen. I think most of you know that I'm a loving pastor. I'm not some touchy-feely guy, but if you hang out with me, I think you know I love you. It's real. Okay? So I know what this is like. I've drank in the Spirit, and then I pour out the Spirit. I don't know how good of a pastor I am in other things. But I'm not even trying to be a good pastor. You know what I'm trying to do? I'm just trying to be God's son and filled with his Spirit. And I've done this for a long, long time. And you know what I found out? It's the best thing in my life. It's absolutely the best thing in my life. And if you will go there too, you'll find out it's the best thing in your life. Because it's a forever thing, the highest treasure from God. Let's pray.